I would like to welcome Justin Levy to the Productivityist podcast this week. Justin, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me. After listening from episode one throughout, it's good to be a guest now.
Yeah, thanks so much for putting that out there in terms of just, you know, you helped build some of my audience out. It was really, really nice. I mean, I know that with workflowing ending and moving into kind of my own realm, especially with Schechter having to, you know, take a bit of a break due to, you know, his breeding tendencies. it's nice to be able to kind of keep going and have conversations with people like you who, you know, we've met. When did we first meet in person? I mean, we met in person I think we've met in person before, but we didn't really get a chance to talk all that much until this year at NMX, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think we had met in passing a couple times, but we actually got a chance to talk about beer, if I remember correctly. Yeah,
go figure. but one of the things that I wanted to talk about as we you know, start off this new year is the idea of, you know, obviously new opportunities, new are around, you know. I mean, I'm going to be going probably back to New Media Expo again this year. I'm bringing my wife, I think, this time because she's now part of the business. And I think being around that kind of energy is important when you're new to this kind of realm. But the other thing that we have to kind of discuss as we start a new year is kind of the idea of like rejuvenation and recharging and even to a certain sense recovery, like the idea of, hey, you know what, these things didn't quite work out for me last year. How do I, you know, pick up, dust myself off and keep going? And out of all the people that I came across in this past year in terms of, you know, just stories, your story of recovery at this point is absolutely remarkable. Can you, for those who don't know, I'd rather you tell this story than me. Can you share with my listeners kind of the latter third of 2014 kind of went for you?
Yeah. So on August 10th, I had two seizures. August 10th of last year, I had two seizures, and that was caused by what we'd find out to be a brain tumor that was sitting on the motor skill strip and just in front of the speech pathways. During the first seizure that I had while at home, I didn't fall or anything, though that is the most common question that myself or my wife get. But during that, I shattered both my shoulders. And so I broke the humerus in both shoulders, which is the actual kind of shoulder. I broke the rotator cuffs in both shoulders and ended up tearing the upper portion of my bicep in my left arm. And so I had to have two surgeries over the course of a weekend to fix both my shoulders, and had to have brain surgery and more MRIs than I would have cared to have in a very short period of time for anyone that has had an MRI. And, you know, was in the hospital on and off for probably, you know, 2.5 weeks over a period of, you know, about 4 weeks.
Now, you work for Citrix, right? So I want to also add some context to that. So, you've worked in the technology place, you know, landscape. You're in San Francisco. I don't want to talk necessarily about the latter third of the year right yet, but I want to talk about, like, you know, when it comes to how you approached your day-to-day leading up to that point, like, what successful strategies did you have that you were using all the way up until that date in August that have served you well? And then I want to cut you kind of dive into what you've had to do since then to kind of either compensate or just, you know, rejig things a bit based on, you know, the fact that you basically, even though I didn't ask if you fell down, you did kind of fall down and how you've been able to kind of, you know, realign yourself to a certain extent, or if you've had to realign yourself.
Yeah. So, you know, I think leading up to that point, because of course life has changed a bit since then, you know, I'm in a fast paced and very busy job. You know, I lead a team as well as having a lot on my plate working for a large company. But, and then beyond that, I have, you know, several personal interests such as fitness and health and technology and things like that. And, you know, I've always believed that anything can be tackled if you have frameworks to deal with them in, and if you have a schedule. And not that the schedule can't be flexible, because I think all of our schedules always have to be flexible to things. But if you get the things out of your head and onto things like a to-do list or into Evernote, or, you know, you note them on anything as soon as those come into your head, or you have conversations with people, you can take on a lot of work. You know, I think, you know, I think about people that have achieved a massive level of success, right? You know, whether they are in politics or they're in entertainment or even within enterprise. And you think about, you know, what do those people have on their plates and how do they move about their days? And, you know, they have to, even though they have people that probably help them through a lot of that, they still have a lot that they have to do on a daily basis. And so I've always tried to take that as a bit of inspiration and use that to inform my day. And so pre the seizures, you know, my day would start very early. I'd wake up at 4:45 in the morning. And I'd be at the gym because fitness matters a lot to me. You know, I'd be at the gym by 5:15 or so, and I'd work out till 6:30, come home and start my day. You know, I'd try to be at my desk ready to work by about 7:30 in the morning. And that day would typically last until about 5:30 or so. And in between, you know, finding time to listen to podcasts and, you know, read about industry news or about other topics that I'm interested in, watch YouTube videos or whatnot. So I've typically kept a very packed day, both be, you know, with personal and with work. Post all of this happening, you know, there was a period of time that I didn't have any sort of schedule whatsoever, because I was in the hospital or I was living on, you know, the doctor's schedule or the hospital schedule. But I tried to, even when I was in the hospital and when I first came home before going back in for the brain surgery, tried to put some framework to my day. It wasn't going to be the same day that I had before. And so I had to deal with that and get past that. But anything that could have, put some scheduling around what I was doing, whether it was writing, you know, I launched this blog called Built Unstoppable as a result of all of this. And so whether it was taking an hour every day to write that article and to, you know, edit that and publish that, whether it was scheduling calls with friends and to kind of stay up to date, and I would do that a certain part of the day and, you know, then rest for another part of the day. You know, immediately upon coming home, even with my arms in slings, you know, I went for a walk with my mother-in-law who flew out here and stayed with us for 7 weeks, and my dog, you know, even if it was to the end of the street and back, right? It wasn't the hour workout that I had, you know, lifting a ton of weight, but it was still something to stay active and to, put some framework around my day.
So the healing process has obviously begun. You know, you're back at work. You work remotely too, right? So do you generally work remotely?
Yes. Yes. So you've got that
flexibility there.
Exactly. I'd go down, and I still do, go down to the office, which is about 50 miles from where we live, one day a week.
Right, right. So there's definitely a bonus to that, in the fact that you have the, you know, the comforts of home when you're dealing with the discomfort of you know, the recovery process. But we're on that road to recovery now. You mentioned some of the fitness stuff that you're doing to try to stay active, but, you know, knowing you and having followed you for a while, how tough is it to not be able to do that stuff that you were doing before? Because you even said, you know, like lifting the weights that you were lifting before, it's a ways away. Like, how are you, is it just that David Allen idea of eating an elephant one bite at a time as opposed to the whole elephant, you know, that kind of thing? Is that your approach? Or is it just, is it maybe a thing of gratitude that, look, the fact I can do any of this at all is just miraculous?
I think it's a bit of both, right? So, you know, I resolved, and I've had this resolve from as long as I can remember before any of this, of, you know, that we as individuals can deal with enormous amounts of tragedy or, you know, heartache or things like that to strike us. And what's important is to just always keep progressing. So, and this is what we tried to do when I was going through my recovery, through the real kind of tough parts of it immediately after coming home. If I couldn't sit up without my wife's help today, then tomorrow I wanted to try to get halfway there, and then she would help with the rest of it. If I couldn't feed myself this week because my arms were in slings, you know, next week I wanted to try to, you know, take one bite myself, or whatever the case was. And So when that, where that applies to fitness, you know, it's been the same way. You know, when I was in the slings and I, you know, couldn't put on a shirt for about 6 weeks or so, and some of the other craziness, I walked to the end of the street every day, three or four times a day. Some days I'd be tired and I could only do once, or, you know, I wouldn't get out at all. But that was better than being in the hospital for the 12 days when I didn't get any exercise for the most part. And then I progressed as my shoulder started to heal, and in consultation with my orthopedic surgeon and with my physical therapist, you know, we'd progress a bit. And then as I transitioned into, you know, active physical therapy, you know, I started to use resistance bands, and it might only be 2 pounds and it might only be 10 reps of bicep curls, for example, but maybe the next time I did it, I could go to 3 pounds, or I could do 11 reps. You know, I always keep progressing in anything, whether it was reps, weight, whether it's with the degrees and the range of motion in my shoulders, or an internal, external rotation at my elbow, anything, I want to keep progressing. And that's continued, you know, as we face other decisions in front of us, and as we have to tackle other things to do with this recovery. That's how we approach it.
How important has the blog been to you? Speaking of, you know, that kind of progressing, because, I mean, you're doing day to day, you know, you're doing daily entries, you know, you're doing it not just in the blog, but you're cross-posting it to Facebook for those who aren't necessarily following the blog. How important has that process been to you in terms of just since you've been able to start the not just the recovery process, but also kind of the rejuvenation process?
Well, it's been interesting because I would have never thought that I would write, you know, every day without missing a day of anything, right? I think any of us that have a blog, you get really psyched up about it and you'll write 5 days in a row, and then you don't do anything for 7 months. And, you know, there are courses by people that I really respect within the industry where you can pay to learn and understand frameworks for how to write daily. And I decided to have seizures and break my shoulders to teach me that.
It's a pretty drastic, it's called Extreme Frameworking by Justin Levy.
Exactly. And, you know, but it started with a very simple Facebook status update the night that I went to the hospital. As most of us do, you know, through our social accounts, we share parts of our day. Typically, we share the shinier parts of the day, but we share our day, right? You know, just went to the hospital. I could use extra prayers for my mother or father, or, you know, my cat's gone through something, or, you know, whatever. And so that's what it was. It was a very simple update, kind of checking out the hospital. And it was this outpouring of status updates and likes and emails and texts and private messages and everything you can imagine. And then I just kept updating. They turned into longer updates, and from there they turned into more structured updates. And, you know, then I started to realize that there were 300 to 1,000 words at a time, depending on how much I had as an update. And throughout that, I started to hear from people that were reaching out to me and saying, "You've inspired me to lose 5 pounds, or you inspired me to reprioritize my life." Or, you know, a colleague of mine went on, started to plan their dream vacation that they weren't planning on taking for several years from now. They're taking it later on in this year or within the next couple of years.
Are they taking you with them?
I wish. I wish. So, you know, I started to realize that this was becoming a platform, you know, my injuries and how we are approaching the recovery and this daily writing was serving as an inspiration to others. And so the least I can do is to write about it every day. Right. And sometimes the updates have nothing to do with anything, in my opinion. You know, they're like, had a bunch of meat and say, and it rained, and I took my dog for a walk, and I worked out, and had this for dinner, you know. Mm-hmm. But they are little things. Those are sometimes the days that I get the most feedback from people, because they are the parts of our life that we don't consider. You know, just the ability to walk my dog, or the ability to go work out, or feed myself now. And yeah, that's all returned to kind of normal parts of the day. but those are things that I couldn't do just a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's become a source of expression for me. And I've been blogging for 7 or 8 years, but this type of daily update, it also serves as an ability to go back and look at how far we've come in such a short amount of time. You know, it's something that my wife and I talk about, you know, often is, you know, life's taken one leading up to August, and then what happened, you know, kind of how what August had in store for us was a complete 180. But we've come very far in a very short period of time. And the blog serves, and some of the private messages I've gotten and emails and things like that serve as a platform to look back at and see all of this.
Yeah, it's been a really interesting thing to watch. And what I've found just by reading it is that it inspires, I don't think it, I mean, and I guess this is probably what you're getting at, is it inspires others, but it also inspires you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know that, you know, I'm on the hook to write this now, right? I've gone this long. I'm not going to miss a day now unless something tragic happens and I'm, you know, stuck in the hospital again or something. So, you know, it requires me to think about my day. Mm-hmm. It requires me to think through what are the interesting parts of the day that are wins, right, for right. me and for us.
And even losses, too, right?
Yeah,
even,
of course.
Even failures. I mean, you acknowledge those as well because it's like you said, you know, I didn't get to eat. I couldn't eat today on my own, so tomorrow I'll take that first bite. You know, I mean, it's course correction, even though, I mean, and I'm not trying to be reductive there, but it's not because you couldn't, it's not because it's like, I just didn't feel like eating. It's just a course correction of like, my expectations might've been a little bit too high or maybe, you know, I had done so many other things today that by the time this came around, I was just, my energy levels were just shot.
Absolutely. And so it's an interesting thing to have to know that, you know, because I type this every night. So I kind of let the whole day go by.
Mm-hmm.
And then I type this around 8 or 9 o'clock, typically my time. And so I have the whole day to see how it's going to progress and to see what's going on. You know, when we were back east, my family lives in Connecticut. My wife's parents live back in Connecticut, so we were back there for the U.S. Thanksgiving this past year, and you know we're there for 10 days, and those 10 days, though I woke up with a backache every morning because of the bed that we were sleeping on, I hit all 10 nights. I hit the minimum of 7 hours of sleep that I goal to hit, right? And it was pretty good sleep. I wasn't waking up in the middle of the night, all the things that I kind of am dealing with going through this recovery. But wouldn't you know, the night that I get back and our big bed that, you know, we bought specially designed for our body types and all this other crazy stuff, I missed that 7 hours of sleep. And I woke up a bunch throughout the night and I woke up sore and all that. And my shoulders weren't feeling too well. And it's those things that you would typically not think about. But because I have to prepare for this update every day, I notice you're much more aware of those things.
Right. Now, you talked about habits and ritualization before, because before, you know, you went through this period of, you know, obviously strife and adversity, you had rituals in place. And one of the things that I like to talk to people about, especially when I'm talking to them, either through coaching or just through my writing, is that ritualization is so key because of that whole framework building, right? Like if you have those, then when something befalls you, whether it's as you know, massive and as what happened to you, or, you know, it happens to somebody else and it throws you for a loop, having those rituals in place or habits or whatever you want to call them allows you to get back. Either maybe not back on track as quickly, although it can, but it gives you something, it gives you a pillar. It gives you some kind of a waypoint that you can at least hold on to start again.
Absolutely. You know, something that I'm really keen on, I'm fond of it, is the, you know, something that Michael Hyatt has written about several times, and it's the concept of the ideal week. And he's produced this template that he's shared out. And so you can either find it on his website or Google it or whatever.
We'll share it in the show notes for sure.
Cool. And you know, And what I liked about it was it just crystallized my way of thinking, because it was something that I was doing without documenting it before, right? I mean, I had the rituals, I knew exactly what I was doing, but you know, when I had, you know, what my ideal week would look like before, and then I recreated it during my recovery as much as we could control it. And then I've created a new ideal week, and it's not the same as it was before. You know, for example, I work out in the evening time now instead of the morning, because I decided that, you know, I didn't, well, one, my shoulders just can't take that much activity that frequently. So, you know, the number of days I'm working out has shifted and things, but I also, you know, decided that I like to sleep in now a little bit more, and that extra rest is good, and a much quieter morning, right? You know, so my wife and I take some time to just sit there and chat.
So you become a night owl like me.
No, I'm still getting to bed by 9 or 10. But it's reprioritizing that stuff, right? So you're able to look at what would, and it's not always going to fit this, right? Especially say with my work, you know, people schedule meetings. I have all day meetings. I have travel, you know, whatever. But you say, what if I could control every aspect of my life from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed, what would that look like? And then what are natural themes as you look at this? You know, maybe, you know, you don't want meetings on Monday and Friday. Tuesday, you want to meet with your team, whether it's, you know, a larger team that you're part of, or you lead a team. You know, you might want to, you know, in my case, I've had physical therapy. So that's, you know, ideally these certain days at this time block. And you put that together. And like you said, you try to build this ritual, whether it's a new one or whether it's an old one. You know, I think coming into, you know, with the new year just starting, I think it's important to take a look at that, right? You look back over the year. What were the things that you didn't like, whether it's with your schedule, whether it's with your goals? Maybe you're too aggressive with your goals. Maybe you weren't aggressive enough. What are the new habits that you can develop to help you achieve all of that?
Yeah, and with that building the new year, you know, the now year, the theming that you're talking about, like that calendar that I just co-developed with New Year. I mean, if you're a themer like you are, and I am too, that kind of thing can definitely help you. If you have the right tools in place to support the framework, that will help you and support the habits. But the key is, again, you're the driver. Like it's the tool doesn't move you; you move the tool.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's really key. You know, one of the things that I always laugh at, or I kind of, you know, it's humorous to me, is that we spend so much time in our lives and in the online space, whether you're kind of into productivity or you're in social media or, you know, whatever, talking about tools and being so focused on this. And, you know, this is one of the things that I love that Chris Brogan talks about, is that, you know, he talks about not being focused on the tool, right? He's focused on what the tool helps him achieve, but not focused on, I use this tool to do this. And, you know, and like, I'll see a lot of people talk about what their favorite to-do list manager is, and they'll switch between them every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, it's what does the to-do list manager or app help you accomplish with as little friction as possible? You know,
absolutely.
If you use a post-it note and a pen, and it's a blue pen for write in it, and it's a red pen to cross it out, have fun. If that's helping you get through your priorities, who cares? You know, that's your to-do list. If it's Todoist, like I know both of us use, or if it's, you know, another one, you know, if it's Outlook tasks, you know, it doesn't matter. Yeah, but people focus so much on that.
The approach is more important than the app.
Absolutely. In your prioritization and things like that. It's great if you can check off 1,000 things on your list, but if you don't accomplish the 3 major things that you have to get done today, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Justin, I wanted to thank you for coming on. I mean, your story has been really inspiring. I know when my wife, when I told her what had happened, she's like, well, you know, how old is Anna? And I kind of gave her a ballpark figure. And she's like, wow. And she's an acupuncturist. So when I told her what had happened, like your shoulders and all that, she's like, oh my God, that's going to take some time. It's going to take a lot of time. And yet here we are a few months later. And, you know, I mean, it's like we were talking, you know, earlier in 2014, and I don't hear any, you know, there's I hear no difference. You know, I hear resolve. I hear, you know, again, a sense of you know, rejuvenation and kind of revitalization. And I think that your story is inspiring, and I want people to go find out and read more about what you did, what you've done, and also where they can, you know, where they can connect with you online. So if you'd share that with my listeners, I would appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's builtunstoppable.com.
Awesome. And you're on Twitter as Justin Levy, aren't you?
Absolutely. And across most of the rest of the interwebs as Justin Levy.
Awesome. Thanks again for joining me on the Productivityist podcast, Justin.
Thanks, sir. Have a good day.
You too.